Thank you so much. Before you we get started here, again, for coming out and joining us and being part of the church as we gather to give glory to God. And I want to celebrate this morning. We're going to celebrate the fact that we buried four people yesterday. It says that God says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. This comes out of the book of Psalms. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. And I want to introduce you to just one of them, because one of them just walked out the door, and two of them were not able to be here this morning. But I want to introduce you to, I'll say their names first, and so she doesn't feel like all the pressure's on her. But Kelsey Tegenkamp, she sings oftentimes with us up here, and she was just baptized yesterday. And this is what I'm referring to, that we buried four people. I'm referring to baptism. Ruthie Utterback, she was baptized yesterday. Unfortunately, she has taken ill this morning. I think all the excitement and everything building up to it, and it just kind of wrecked her, and so she's not feeling well this morning. And Nathan Krumbacher, who just walked out the back doors with the youth group and headed back to class there. And then Felicia Renner. And you can just kind of put your hand up a little bit. There you go. Shauna's sister, she's not... All right, let's just say amen and be done for the day, huh? I want to talk about baptisms this morning, because this is a process of dying to self and living for Christ. And so while I kind of want to review what happened yesterday, I know not everyone was there, give you an idea of what did it mean, what was stated yesterday, what happened, and this is our understanding of the biblical idea of what baptism is. Paul says in the book of Galatians, he said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for me." And this is an internal thing that happens. This is something that goes on inside. It's a devotion, a self-sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done for us, that we are then to imitate. Jesus' call throughout his life was to say, he called us to follow him. And that's not some... that's not some statement to say, hey, listen, I believe in Jesus, and then I'm going to go out and do whatever I want. I'm going to go live however I want. To follow Jesus is to walk in the footsteps that he walked, to live a life like he lived. And when he lived a life of sacrifice and giving to those around him, then this is what he calls us to. He says, listen, I want you to deny yourself, and I want you to live for Christ, which means I want you to live for others. This is how we show that. We're no longer going to be living for ourselves and our world and by the worldly standards, but instead we're going to live a life that brings honor and glory to Christ. This is the death and the resurrection that is portrayed through baptism. This is an idea that at the instant of baptism, somebody dies. There is a watery grave, and we bury the old person. The old person, so long as they've been living for their own desires, their own comfort, their own wealth, their own everything, said, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. That hasn't worked for me. That's not what God wants for me. That's not what's best for me. It's not what's best for my family. And so that person today, that person dies. Now, while we do baptism as an outward expression, it is something that has already happened inwardly. These people who have decided, when we put the date on the calendar, they didn't go, well, I'm going to live for myself until that day. At least I hope they didn't, but I don't think they did. But when they came to baptism and they said, now I'm going to show the world what I have decided already in my heart. And so they did. They went to a watery grave, and then they were resurrected out of that watery grave into a new life. And... you know, we sat down early, late last year, and as a church, the church leadership, we talked about when are we going to do baptisms. And we specifically chose this weekend because how many people know what this weekend is on the church calendar? Yeah, Pentecost, or in the Hebrew term, Shavuot. And I think for a lot of us, what Pentecost means is, oh, that's the day that the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers after Jesus was resurrected and then ascended into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was given to the believers. But it goes back way before that. Way back in Leviticus, God says, hey, listen, I want you to celebrate Shavuot or Pentecost. I want you to acknowledge this. And this was originally, it was a harvest celebration, a harvest time. So when they bring in the summer crop, this was take the first of the crop and bring it before God and just celebrate the fact that he's given you a crop. It's a display of devotion. And in addition to that, it's beautiful. If you look it up, jot this down, Leviticus 23, look it up and see how he describes it, because he says, listen, I want you to bring your devotion to me and understand that it's God who provides. Then I want you to take the rest of it, and I want you to meet your own needs. But then with the excess, and he lays this out very specifically, I don't want you to bring in all the crop. Leave some of it in the field, because there are people who are in need. There are people who are in hard times. There are the poor and the marginalized and the people who are unlovable and untouchable. You leave some for them, because so in the celebration of Shavuot, then there is an aspect of I'm going to devote myself to God and I'm going to have a generosity that just flows out of me because of that and takes care of the people around me. That's why we chose this weekend to do our baptisms. Because when we look back, and we see that God, in his glory and knowledge, he baptized the followers of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. Jesus did say that I'm going to come to baptize with the Spirit and not just water. He says when God baptized with the Holy Spirit, the initial response, we always want to go off into other directions, but the response, the response that stayed with those believers is that they became a community. They became a people who cared for one another. It says that they were all taking care of each other and no one was in need. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. When we have decided to die to self, which means I'm going to live just for me, this little box with me, and we said, no, now the Holy Spirit is in me, so now I'm going to take care of everyone around me. It's a complete change of direction. It goes from inward focus to outward focus. Hopefully that challenges you if it's not something that you have felt, and hopefully it's something that God is going to lead you to an understanding of this is what he wants for his people. You know, we go to John 3:16, God so loved the world, and if he asks us to follow him, then obviously he wants us to love the world and not to sit in our room and pray quietly for the world, certainly do that, but and then just go, God, wow, I sure do hope they get better while I'm watching the royal wedding. He wants us to get out and participate. He gave us the power. He gave us the means. He gave us the purpose to take care of one another. To love one another. And the hard part about it, he said he didn't ask our he didn't ask my opinion first. You know? He didn't say, hey, Brian, I don't know if you like Kelly or not, but I want you to take care of her. If you don't like her, you don't have to. That's not what he said. In fact, he took the most despicable person in the time, the day and age, the most despicable, filthy, rejected person that he could possibly imagine to that community. And he says, and that was a Samaritan. And he says, that person, that's your neighbor. That's the person you love. So that's why we do baptisms on Shavuot. This is where we sink our roots, and this is where we begin. We're going to not be living a selfish life anymore. As I sat down with those four people, I explained that to them. Listen, you're making a decision. This isn't an event. This is a devotion. This is a commitment. This is where you plant your roots, and this is where you put your feet down, and you say, it is no longer about me. Now I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ, which means that I'm going to live my life and care for those around me. I'm going to care for them mentally and physically and emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And it's a tall order. And I explained to them, listen, baptism is, it's not an accomplishment in the sense that, wow, I'm done, whew, glad that's over. And sometimes we kind of give that idea in today's churches. We say, listen, all you have to do is say one prayer, then you're done. Or all you have to do is come forward to the altar, then you're done. And that's not the case. And if you were sold that, then please hear me out, because I want more than anything desperately for you to have a relationship with God, because and understand that a relationship is not a single event issue. It's a lifetime issue. If you're married, you understand that. Growing up with parents, you understand that. They didn't give birth and then say, okay, you're my child, now we're done. I say that and I shake my head, because I know for some of us that probably did happen. And that hurts. But you know that didn't build a relationship. It's a journey. It's a process. Dying to self is a daily decision. You make that outward profession to tell everybody, this is my goal. I'm going to die, and then Christ is going to live in me. And that begins your journey. And we say that almost every week here. Hey, I'm glad you're on this journey. Maybe you're at the very beginning of this journey. Maybe you're not even sure who Jesus is, and you're just kind of stumbled in here and looking for a cup of water. I don't know. Maybe you've been coming to church your entire life. You've never missed a Sunday. You know the Bible backwards and forwards. I am glad you're here, whichever end of the spectrum that you're on. And again, I hope it's a safe place for you. But this journey is going to be a lifelong journey. Loving God and loving others. We just finished up a series called Shema, which is all about that. Jesus kind of narrowed the whole Bible down. We get intimidated by this book, and Jesus says, hey, let me just break it down for you. Love God. Love others. That's the whole thing, summed up. And that's our journey. I'm going to extend an invitation this morning. Because how we practice baptism here is we practice baptism in submersion. We don't die on the hill of submersion. I've sprinkled people before because this is a demonstration of what's going on in our heart. It is not a formula for salvation. Baptism does not save you. Okay, your decision to follow Christ and accept what He did for you on the cross saves you. In fact, let me go into that just a little bit of detail. Salvation, in other words, the idea of I gotta pause for a moment, because I don't want to simplify this so much that I don't do this honor. The aspect of knowing if you're going to go to heaven is based upon the grace of God and the payment of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that everybody has sinned. We have all sinned. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. So that means that however much you have strived to be towards God and love God and move towards God, you have fallen short. If you go to church every Sunday and you pay your tithes and you walk little old ladies across the street and you buy the cookies from the girl when she knocks on your door and you do all that stuff and you think, I'm a good person, so I should go to heaven, then you're in the wrong ballpark, because it's not about being good. It's about knowing God and allowing Him to know you. The Bible says, because we have all sinned and the wages of sin is death. Every one of us is going to face a physical death. But there's two deaths that are described in the Bible. There's a physical death and a spiritual death. And death is just separation. The first means our spirit will be separated from our body. The second means that our spirit will be separated from God. And that's the result of sin. then he follows that up with the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And he even explains that eternal life is knowing God. It's not being good. It's knowing God. The free gift. You can't earn it. In fact, the Bible says, Ephesians 2, you cannot earn it. God doesn't want anybody standing before him going, "Ha! I got in because I earned it and you couldn't stop me." Not how it works. You cannot be good enough to get into heaven. I often say, tell this story, and I don't know where I first heard it, but if you're sitting at home and somebody kind of walks in your door in the evening, you're sitting there relaxing on a Friday night, and somebody just walks in your door, goes over to your refrigerator, pops it open, grabs a drink out of there, and some cold chicken, and comes over, plops down on the couch, takes the remote control, and starts flipping through the channels. I say, "What's your response?" Which is really funny when a pastor asks somebody what their response is, and they think they're supposed to be all holy and stuff, and they'll go, "Well, I would ask them, excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" I'm like, "No, you wouldn't. You would get up and freak out." And like, "Who are you? Get out of my house. Call the police. Chase them out. Get your gun out. I mean, something." But the guy goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a good person. I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. I walk little old ladies across the street. I'm a good person." And then what would your response be? "No different. I don't care. I don't know you. This is my house." Heaven is God's house. He's not impressed with how many things you have checked off of a list. He wants to know you before you're welcome into his home. He wants to know you. And that is a free gift that he offers through the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross. That's how it comes through Jesus Christ, because when our wages is death, Jesus says, "I'm going to take those wages. I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to die on the cross and take the death that's yours, but I'm going to take it. You are paid in full." And his response is, "Follow me." And "follow me" is so huge, so big, it's going to take the rest of our lives to do that and live how he lived, die how he died, devoted to God, caring for others. And then if we do that, we follow him through death to an eternal life. Putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Agreeing to die to self and live for him. That's what baptism represents. So these four that we introduced to you this morning, they already agreed to do that. They agreed to take on the yoke of Jesus, or the teachings of Jesus. So, I will open it up this morning and ask if there's anyone who wants to be baptized, who maybe has never heard the message before, never been baptized as an adult. Maybe you are baptized as a baby, and you may never made that decision on your own. I pray and ask you to pray about it for a few moments and think about that, because I'm going to give an opportunity in a few moments to invite you up, if you'd like to be baptized, to make that public declaration. Before we do that, though, I want to share with you a little bit of what happened yesterday. This is Kelsey. Each person that I brought out, I talked with them before they were baptized. I said, "Do you understand the significance of what you're doing and deciding right here and right now? Do you understand that what you are doing and deciding right now is going to echo throughout your entire life, and not just yours, but your children and their children, and it will have ripples that will go on for generations if you will follow Christ?" Each person that came out said, "Yes, I understand that." So then I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I baptized them and pulled them out of the water, and every one of them had a big smile on their face. This is Ruthie, not able to be with us this morning. Ruthie was in tears when she came out. Funny, Kelsey was just smiling from ear to ear. Ruthie came out, she was in tears. So excited. I asked her the same thing, and she said, definitely. Here's Felicia. Felicia was very nervous, also had tears in her eyes. Very meaningful statement for her. And not an easy one. She's very shy. So to stand in front of people was an enormous statement for her. To be willing to go out in front of people when that is totally against your personality and your desire. But she said, I, you know what, that's my desire, and I'm dying to that. And I'm going to live for Christ. And then we brought out Nathan. Nathan came out, and he was grinning from ear to ear. Mom and Dad had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to baptize him. And he was hopping up and down as I talked to him and asked him his questions. He was just ready to go. And they baptized him. And right when he comes up, look at him holding his hands. He was in prayer coming up out of the water. We gathered at the shore then because Scripture tells us that, when Jesus was cleaning the feet of the apostles, and Peter said, oh, hey, wash all of me. And Jesus says, we don't need to do that. If you've been washed completely, then washing your feet is enough. You need to be continually returning to God for a cleansing, but you only have to be baptized once in your life as an adult with your own decision. And so everyone who has been baptized, we bring them to the shoreline and we pour water over their hands as we remember that. Remember our devotion that we had made. So I went down the line and poured water over everyone's hands who was present. And I want to say a special thanks to Polly, who was our photographer yesterday, and she managed to snap a photo of me pouring water over her own hands. I don't think Polly's with us this morning. And another special thanks to our worship team, who led us in music as we worshiped at the beginning of our service up under the pavilion, and then they walked down, leading us in song as we walked down to the lake, and then they sang behind us as we celebrated baptism. We closed in prayer, gave thanks to God that he was glorified. Now, it was cold and rainy, but I still believe that our witness was seen. If by no one at Hidden Valley, then it was certainly seen by the angels in heaven. Luke tells us in that the angels rejoice over one repentant sinner. And so while we were having hamburgers and hot dogs and celebrating, we know that there was a party in heaven. Everyone close their eyes in prayer. So I'm going to invite up the worship team again. And they're going to lead us in that powerful song again. And I'm going to invite you to think about what your baptism meant that you have already had. And then maybe go ahead and in your prayer and in your mind, talking with God, rededicate yourself to the fact that, oh, yeah, I've got to die to myself again today. That's a daily decision. And I'm going to live for Christ today. But if you're someone who has never been baptized as an adult, you've never made that decision, you've never made that public declaration, and I do give you the opportunity to come up during this song, and we'll baptize you right over here. We'll get you some towels. We'll get you dried off afterwards. If you're ready to make that decision, please come up during this song.
took a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights to
Father, Lord, thank you so much for gathering us here this morning, and I pray that you would bless those who have made this decision. And Lord, I would be remiss if I didn't throw out this warning that everyone who makes a decision for you is going to be attacked. Lord, I know that when Jesus Christ himself was baptized by John the Baptist, that he immediately was attacked by the enemy. And I know that once we choose that we are on your side, that we become a target as well. And so I pray your protection with them. I pray more than that, your strength, that you are with them as they walk through whatever trials might come their way. I pray that for everybody here, Lord. We live in a day and an age and a world that does attack us. If it's not by circumstances, then it's certainly by time and speed or what we feel is lack of time. Lord, help us to maneuver all of those things to your glory. And so, Lord, I also ask, as we close out this morning, that you would bless the food that we're about to participate in and have and share together, and that you would bless the conversation that we're going to have as a community. We pray that it all gives you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you so much for coming out. Find Randy.